But we'll talk about money tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be talking about new skins tonight. But since today's the 3rd and tomorrow's the 4th, you know what we celebrate, right? Yeah, 4th of July. So I am going to read part of, not the whole thing, because we'd be here, that we'd just do that tonight and that'd be it. But our Declaration of Independence, because what we celebrate is freedom, right? We celebrate the 4th of July. It's a celebration of freedom and celebrating the declaration that was on July 4th, 1776. Congress, and this first part, you may have never even heard. Now, some of you, you history buffs, you probably know all this, but there's a lot of things in here you probably never even heard. There's probably just one paragraph that you know about the Declaration of Independence. But I'm going to read some of it. I'm going to skip through a lot of it because it's kind of long, but feel free on your own to go through and read it. So the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. So they are setting you, they're telling you what they're doing in this declaration. Here's what we're going to do. And here's the part you probably know. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. From the consent of the governed. Just want to clarify that. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. That means you just don't think up some whim and throw it into that HB, whatever they call those policies, what do they call them? Bills. Thanks. Those bills, like they just slide in these things in there, this little transient. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It goes on, talks about evils being insufferable. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, I'll look that one up, pursuing invariable the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. So basically, they're telling you why they're separating, right? And so it goes on and says, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So they're communicating to the world that we're not just doing it just to do it, just for the heck of it. Like, we have a reason. Let's tell you what the facts are. So I'm not going to read through. I'm just going to skim through. But they have a lot of facts that led them to this decision, right? He refused to assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He's forbidden governors to pass laws for immediate and pressing importance. Refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless they were relinquished the right of representation in the legislature. So what is that called? Manipulation. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant so that by the time they got there, they would be so fatigued, they would go into what he wanted to do. Refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected. Endeavored to prevent the population of these states for obstructing the laws of naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands, obstructed the administration of justice, made judges dependent on his will alone, erected new offices and officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. This sounds pretty bad, huh? He has kept among us. So this is why we declared our independence, right? Tyrannical rule. We wanted to be free from tyrannical rule. We are a free people. We have rights. So they did this for a reason. And it goes on, protecting them by a mock trial, from punishment. Anyways, it goes on and on and on. So let me just skip to the end. It's a Princess Bride quote. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in our most humble terms. Our repeated petitions. So did they just ask him, hey, stop doing this and stop doing this one time? No, repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. I like how they clarified that. He's unfit to be a ruler of a free people. So if you want to be under that rule, by all means, but we want to be free. So that's our Declaration of Independence. You can go on your own and read through the whole thing. I encourage you to, because it's history. It's how our nation was started. So you should probably at least read it once. So it talks about being absolved from the allegiance to the British crown, all those things. So now let's go to the original Declaration of Independence, which is Luke 4:18-19. It's one of my favorite scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to be hope for the poor, freedom for the brokenhearted, and new eyes for the blind, and to preach to prisoners, you are set free. I have come to share the message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun. So I memorized this scripture in New King James Version, so I love the part in New King James that says to set at liberty the captives. Liberty, right? That phrase, that word rings true, and we think about the Declaration of Independence. We think about our freedom. We celebrate the 4th of July. We think about liberty, right? What did Jesus come to do? Set at liberty. You see, when the people of God act like the people of God and behave with what's really on the inside of them, they know that being oppressed is wrong. They know that. It's just inside of us. Because Jesus said, I came to set at liberty all those who are oppressed. So we've been given freedom, right? And I thank God that we have freedom. But here's the thing. Sometimes we don't think, we have a wrong perspective of freedom. We think freedom is being able to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, buy whatever I want to buy. Man, I'm free. I've heard successful people. I listen to a lot of entrepreneurs, and I've heard successful people say, millionaires say, freedom is being able to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, being able to buy whatever you want to buy, whenever you want to buy it. And I'm like, not completely. Because you can be free in that sense, but that's just the physical realm, right? I don't just want to be free in the physical realm. You know what I mean? I want to be free in all the other ways. With my whole being, right? We're a three-part being. Let's not just focus on one part. So freedom. So here's the question. So this is what I think about. Movies flash in my head all the time. But you think about freedom. What good is freedom if you don't utilize it properly? So y'all check this out and we'll talk about it. Sorry, guys. That's like one of my favorite scenes in any movie. Because that line, I love that line, but what will you do with that freedom? You have been given freedom, but what are you going to do with it? Are you going to submit yourself under tyrannical rule? Because that's what the enemy wants to do to you. He wants to have you under tyrannical rule where you're not really free. Or you have these borders where you only go so far. You think this is freedom, but God is going, no, 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 no. That's not freedom. Let me open up your eyes to a whole other world and show you what true freedom is. And so we're talking about freedom specifically. We're going to talk about freedom tonight when it comes to money. So I want you to be free when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your money. Okay? Money is the currency of our day, right? We generally, for the most part, don't barter anymore. We don't trade for the most part. It happens a little bit on Facebook nowadays. Victor does a lot of that. But we don't do that too much, right? Money is our currency. Money is value. It has a value, right? You take your time and energy and effort and you put it to work. And the way that they thank you or the way that they show value for that is by giving you money, right? Handing you a paycheck. And you utilize that to pay your bills, to take care of your family, to have some fun, right? Yes. It's okay to have fun. Yeah. Okay, so that money is important, right? But it's not supposed to rule you. Okay? Let's have clarity, because it's the love of money that's the root of evil. But let's think about it. It's the love of anything other than God that's evil. You can love all kinds of things. Maybe it's not money. I'm not talking about people, right? As long as you're not putting people in front of God, that anything can become an idol. And we read through the Old Testament and think, man, those Israelites, they were idiots. I mean, come on, Moses goes up and he's gone for 40 days and they just experienced the greatest miracles ever in all the plagues and the waters parting, right? And the army, Philistine army, just completely getting doused and killed. They walked on dry land, anyways. And then he goes up and they throw all their gold. There's a lot of people, millions of people, I mean. So they had a lot of gold stuff back then. And out came this calf, as Aaron said. Yeah. I was thinking about that today. I was like, I wonder how long, you know, because in the when you're a kid and you see these stories and there's videos, it's like this beautiful, smooth thing came out. This morning I was thinking, I wonder if that thing was kind of like had some smudges on it, and I don't know. I guess it depends on who made it, but that's a side note. So he's gone, and they're already making an idol. Well, I just want to challenge you tonight, a little bit, that when your money's gone, how long is it before you start putting up idols? Or when something's missing, or you feel like God's not answering, you haven't heard the voice of the Lord, how long is it before you start putting something there? Us men, oh, I can do it. I got the female poster that says we can do it, so women too. But we're like, this ain't no big deal. I can solve this problem. I'm a man, dadgummit. I'm just going to pull up my bootstraps and get her done. Well, that's an idol of self, because you're going to do it. Trust me, I know. So you can put idols in place. So let's not criticize Israelites too much. It just looks different. And it's not as obvious, right? The enemy's gotten craftier and sneakier. Okay. Let me get past all my Declaration of Independence. All right, so let's go to Mark 2:18. One time, the disciples of John the Baptizer and the Pharisees were fasting. So they came to Jesus and asked, why is it that John's disciples and disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but your disciples are not? Jesus answered, how can the sons of the bridal chamber fast when the bridegroom is next to them? Like, have you guys ever gone to somebody's wedding and you're at the reception and they got all this awesome food and desserts and cakes? I mean, you got a bride's cake, you got a groom's cake, and then you got other little goodies in there as well. And they're offering you stuff and, you know, all these things and filling your glass. And you're like, oh, no, I can't have any. People are like, what's wrong with you? do you mean you can't have any work? This is a celebration. Come on, celebrate with me. I mean, that'd be kind of rude, right? To go to someone's celebration and then not partake of any of the celebration. Okay. Somehow it skipped back up to the declaration. How can the sons of the bridal chamber fast when the bridegroom is next to them? As long as the bridegroom is with them, they won't. But the days of fasting will come when the bridegroom is taken from them. And who would mend worn-out clothing with new fabric? When the new cloth shrinks, it will rip, making the tear worse than before. And who would pour fresh new wine into an old wineskin? Eventually, the wine will ferment and make the wineskin burst, losing everything. The wine will be spilled and the wineskin ruined. Instead, new wine is always... new wine is always poured into new wineskins. Well, man, Pastor Christian, why are you talking about wine at church? It's in the Bible. But listen, I want you to rethink this scripture, because we've probably all heard this scripture, right? Oh, yeah, new wine, new sound pour. Oh, we know that. Come on. Okay, maybe you don't. How about that? Okay, think about it. I love Jesus. Jesus is so cool. Because he takes something and he just blows people's mind. They don't even know their mind got blown. They just get mad, okay? So what are they doing? They nitpicked Jesus, right? The Pharisees nitpicked Jesus. So if you're a nitpicker, I just want to challenge you tonight. How close are you to the Pharisees? Okay. So they're nitpicking Jesus all the time, right? So they're nitpicking. Oh, why are you not fasting? Why are your disciples not fasting? And Jesus is like, this is so like you guys don't get it. There's a whole new world that you guys haven't even realized. So he takes it, and Jesus saying you shouldn't fast? No. His point isn't even about fasting. He didn't even care. He knows they don't care about fasting. He knows they don't give a rip because all they care about is themselves. And themselves looking good. So he's not talking about fasting. Jesus is like, look, let me teach you this concept. Maybe somebody else around who's listening will get it. And that is that it's not about this. It's about something else. Jesus is Lord, right? He supersedes the Sabbath. Like the Sabbath isn't to rule us. We're to rule the Sabbath. Okay. Going to keep doing that to me. It's irritating. So as long as the bridegroom is with them, they won't. So he takes this, he gives three examples, right? First he says, he talks about a bride and a bridegroom. Use that example. Then he uses the clothes example. Then if that's not enough, he uses a wine example. These are all in the same category. He's trying to get a point across and telling you three different things. So take your clothes, right? We have any seamstresses? Have anybody who does sewing? They don't want to raise your hand. Okay. Oh, we got two. So if you take a worn out pair of pants, right, and you take a new cloth, and maybe in today's day and age, that's not as relevant because we pre-shrink stuff and do all that kind of fancy stuff. But back then, the new threads, they're going to shrink over time. So just imagine there's a hole in my pants right here, okay? And we're going to sew a new patch right here, right? We're going to sew it in. Well, that patch is the right size right now. But over time, it's going to shrink. And now that hole is going to be worse than it was before, because as it shrinks, it's going to rip where it got attached to the thread. Okay, so we tried to fix it with the wrong thing. Okay, now let's go to the wine. So you're not going to put new wine in old wineskins because the new wine hasn't gone through that fermentation process. And therefore, the old wineskins, they've been used and their skins are brittle. And if you pour new wine into that, as the new wine ferments, it's going to break the wineskins and now your wine is ruined. So, okay, let me... You guys aren't following me all the way, so let me pull it all together for you. So, let me tell you a story. A month or two ago, I opened the cover of our pool. We have an above-ground pool. I opened the cover of it for summer, and there's a rip at least that long in it. I'm like, oh, man. Oh, no, Jesus. So I got to get a new liner, right? So I purchased a new liner. So I, you know, you go through and you look on the internet, you find one that's a good price. It's beautiful. You imagine it being in your pool. And, you know, ours is pretty old, so it's all faded and funky, you know. So then you imagine, man, our pool's going to look so nice now, right? So you order this liner because if I were to, so there was water in the pool, but it wasn't filled up because in the winter, you don't keep it full. So if I were to fill the pool up all the way, what would happen? That rip would get bigger and bigger and bigger. And if I filled it up enough, the water would start going over that hole and it'd start going out my yard. And eventually that thing would just all rip and come down and it'd be a waste, right? Okay, so here's the thing. What we do is we try to put new revelation in an old wineskin and it doesn't work. It's a waste. So a lot of times we think we're smart and we know all kinds of stuff, right? And the more, if all of us who've grown up in the church, my daddy was a preacher, like, we think we know more than everybody else. So what we do is we try and take this new thing, this new concept, whatever it is, and put it into our old ways of thinking or old context or old systems, and it doesn't work, and it's worse than before. And generally, we blame God. We're like, I know that was from you, Lord. What happened? Oh, maybe you should look in the mirror. Maybe I took some new wine and put it in some old wineskins. Okay, so let's continue that thought. So just a side note, my new liner had a rip in it, so they had to send me another liner. So my pool is still not up, which my family is not too happy about. But here's the thing, like, I don't want to put, like, the liners in. Like, it's been this probably month-long process, been really irritating, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to go out. I mean, it's hot, right? It's Texas. So I got to go out there in the hot sun all day long and do all this work. So I'm almost done, but not quite. But it's a lot of work, right, to get the new wineskin in place. Here's what we want to do. We get this new revelation. We see the blessing. Man, we're fired up. We get a word from the Lord. Somebody prophesies over us, and we're all excited, right? And so then we just want to be there. We forget it takes work. Oh, wait a second. You mean God's not just going to drop 10 grand on me? No. You can't handle that. You wouldn't know what to do with it. You got to put in the work to get the new wineskin ready, to get the new pool liner in place so that you can pour the water in, so you can have a great summer and play with your kids. We want the results without the work, the stress, the pressure. FYI, there's two types of stress. There's eustress and there's distress. You can probably figure out which one's not good. Distress, but eustress is a positive kind of stress, if you didn't know that. So don't just think all stress is bad. And actually, stress and pressure, people get paid well to be in stress and pressure situations. Do you know that? So if you work somewhere and you have a pressure kind of job, praise the Lord, because your boss trusts you to be in a pressure situation. Side note. So we want all these things without the work. We want the six-figure income with the same old wineskins, but it don't work that way. Here's the thing. If you're making, so let's say you're making 50K. Your yearly income is 50K. Well, how come you can't get to 100K? Well, because you're still thinking with 50K mindsets and 50K mentalities, and take that and apply it to whatever else. Why can't you get that job? Why can't you get that promotion? Because you're still operating on this level and with these systems, and so you're not going to get there. You need some new skins. Anybody got any Fortnite players in here? No? Elijah's not here. They got skins on that game. I don't play it, so I don't really know. But Where's Aiden's not in here either. Okay. Elijah and Aiden have a Fortnite life group for all the young people. Go online. I'm really proud of those guys for doing that. So anyway, shameless plug. So we say, I don't know why I'm not doing better financially. We say these things, right? Man, why are we not doing better? Man, I feel like we're doing this. We haven't seen results. Well, let me tell you, I do. I know why I'm not doing better financially. So I'm not just talking to you guys, I'm talking to myself. Because you keep being unfaithful to God. So, you're either unfaithful to God with your money, or we treat God or giving like a slot machine. Man, I gave $100 to that, man. I put that money in the building fund, or man, I went to Jubilee, and I put $200 in the offering. Man, I gave to that person at Walmart. We just think it's going to happen. No. That's not how it works. You need some new skins. We think I do one thing and everything dramatically changes tomorrow or at most next week or at the very latest next month. I know why you're not prospering. Old wineskins. So what does that look like? We need new ways of thinking. We need to upgrade the processor because it's out of date. Okay, so we have some fantastic TVs nowadays, right? I mean, I just forgot what they're called. Not UHD. Is it UHD? Ultra high definition? 4K? Oh, 4K, yeah. So we got like 4K. Some of you guys, I don't even know what that is. The definition, the clarity, I mean, it almost looks like you're there. It's like you can reach out and touch it, right? So imagine taking that technology and putting it on one of those box TVs. Well, would there be a point? No. You need a new TV that can handle the systems and the processors and all the technology, right? Take your phone, your iPhone, your smartphone, right? As they upgrade the technology, you need new processors. You need something that can contain the new stuff. Just like your brain. It's like your being. It can't contain it because you haven't upgraded. So that's why you need to be constantly renewing your mind with God's word, because you can't hold new information that could be revelation because you don't have the system to process it. I would venture to say that I know specific people that are here tonight. I know you listen to preachers. I know you listen to podcasts. I know you are filling yourself with the word. But let me tell you what probably happens a lot of the time. That stuff goes in, you're like, oh yeah, that's cool. Oh yeah. And it kind of floats around the front of your brain, and then it's gone. After a day or two, a couple days, week, right? Because it doesn't ever go anywhere else. Because we don't just process things with our brains. Right? You're a three-part being. That stuff goes in your ears and into your brain, but it needs to go down to the rest of the parts of your being. Because information becomes revelation in the internal processor of your being. So you have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit, right? That stuff needs to be worked in there, refined in there. It can't just go to your brain. It's got to work in your soul, man. What does that mean? Your mind, your will, and emotions. You got to process it. You got to think about it. You got to chew on it. So I love when Pastor Jacob used that scripture that's the Passion Translator. It talks about gnawing, like chewing, just the word. Man, when you get something, when you hear something, you're like, man, that's good. If you don't take it and gnaw on it, chew on it, and process it through your being, it ain't going to come out revelation. It's just going to be, oh, yeah, that was a great quote. And you're the quote guy. Oh, yeah, I remember they said this. That was awesome. That's about it. We had a good conversation about it, but nothing ever happened. My life isn't changed. I'm still doing the same old stuff. So let's get real since I'm out of time. So let's get down to the nitty gritty, okay? So think about why. We all ask why, right? We all want to know why. Why am I not where I want to be? I ask these questions. Why am I not where I want to be financially? Why do we struggle here? Why don't we have this? What's going on here? God wants me to prosper. I know the Bible says God wants me to prosper even as my soul prospers in everything. Well, fear, we have a scarcity mindset. So when we get more than enough, what do? So let's say we're blessed with food. We're like, oh man, let's take that. We'll put it in freezer bags and put it in the freezer. Man, we got food for a month. Is that a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset? Well, listen, we all know the people who say, man, when I win the lottery, I'm really going to give. When I win the lottery, when that my boat sails in. No, you're not. If you ain't doing it now, you ain't going to do it then. Oh, you know, if I can just get to this monthly income, then I'll start tithing. Let me tell you something. Every time I've cleaned out my closet, not like empty, but like gone through and just taken stuff out and given it away, every single time I get more back. People come up and give me clothes. I'm not kidding. Just recently, it happened again. Every single time. And you know, you hear that voice, you don't think it's the Holy Spirit. You're like, yeah. Hey, why don't you get all that stuff you don't really wear that much? That nice stuff, not the ones with holes in it. Right? You just take that out and give it away. And you're like, eh. No, I need to hang on to that. Because I don't have money to buy more. I need to hang on to it. Right? That's scarcity mindset. That's not abundance. That's not prosper. You got to change the way you think about things if you want to prosper. So if I have more than enough, what am I supposed to do with it? What am I supposed to do? What did the church in Acts do? No one went without because they took care of everyone's needs. If I have more than enough, I should give it away. And let me tell you something. When it comes to food, I'm the worst. So if you think I'm talking about you, I'm talking about myself. We had a leader dinner at my house one time last year, and someone had bought me my favorite gallon of Bluebell ice cream. And it's a seasonal, so it's not around all the time. And we're there, we had finished dinner, and my wife, unbeknownst to me, offers my special Bluebell someone else had bought for me to everyone. And I was like, no, I want to eat every last bite. And you know what I did? I recognized it. You know what I did? I went in there and scooped it for him in bowls. Because obviously I got a problem. I got a scarcity mindset. Hey, Bluebell's like, y'all just don't know. Okay. Like, I seriously, that's a scarcity mindset. How many other places am I doing that in? And if I just go, oh, it's just ice cream, then guess what? I'm never going to move past that. My eyes are never going to be opened to all the more important things that I have a scarcity mindset on, that I'm now allowing God to renew my mind so that I can prosper. Because you were created to prosper. We are meant to be blessed to be a blessing. I want to be the biggest stinking blessing in this town. And I'm not there yet. But I can't do it if I don't start changing my mindset, if I don't get some new skins. So why else don't we do it? Well, let's get real. Maybe you don't even make a budget for your finances. Ribbit. Ribbit. Maybe you're like, yeah, I just trust God and, you know, we'll make it. Faith. Well, what does a steward do? Okay, if you had a business, or maybe you're here and you have a business, would you want your accountant or your CPA to be like, yeah, it's not that big a deal. We'll figure it out at the end of the month, bro. We don't need to track all that stuff. You'd be like, you're fired. No, you're going to be a good steward. What are you doing with your personal money? You better be a good steward. You better know what's coming in and where it's going, and you better be tracking it. And you got to have a budget to do that. So maybe you haven't got an increase because you're not being faithful. You're being unfaithful with what you have. And there is a principle that will remain, and that is that he who is faithful with little will be given much. And let me tell you what I've learned in business. When we had a business, we wanted to bless people. We wanted to be generous to people. But you know what we discovered? That we broke a biblical principle. And that is, you got to be faithful with little first before you're given more. So we gave more before they were faithful with little. And guess what? It doesn't work. They're ungrateful. They're ugly. They're nasty. No, I'm not joking. You think, oh no, I'm giving, I'm being generous, they're going to be grateful. No, I'm telling you, break the biblical principle, it don't work and it's ugly. So when you're faithful with little, we think, man, I'm going to be faithful with little and then I'm going to like get much. When you're faithful with little, you get some more. And because you were faithful here, now you're ready and you have new skins here. But you can't handle that over here. You can't handle 100K income yet because you still think with a 50K mindset. And so God in his faithfulness is going, okay, be faithful here. Now let's move here. Okay, be faithful here. Now let's move here. Oh, it's getting exciting. Now you're faithful here. Let's move here. Come on, glory. And then you start getting over here. Once you break over this area over here, man, it's smooth sailing. Because now you've come to a place where it doesn't matter how much the amount grows. You have the new skin to handle it. Hey, listen, I'm not teaching from a place of I got it together. I'm teaching of a place of I'm walking this out right now. And you know what my issue has been? Which is totally weird for me. Fear. I'm like, I'm not afraid of anything. I'll go climb mountains and sides of cliffs and jump off waterfalls like, but I ain't scared of anything. And so to be dealing with fear in my side business, it's weird. But that's what I'm dealing with. So what are you dealing with? So this week, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to slap myself because I'm over time. This is what I want you to do this week. Sun's not down yet. Evaluate yourself. Don't just walk out and go, man, Christian says some good things, but I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. The Lord's going to be faithful. He will be faithful. But if you're unfaithful with little, you ain't going to get more. You're not. I can attest to that. I got to develop some new mindsets and some new skins so I can get to my next level. And it's real easy to go, man, God will just bless me because me and Kathy have a plan. Man, we want to build houses for people. We want to be able to walk up to somebody you can't afford to get a home and never will be able to and go, you know what, we're going to build you a house. That's real exciting. But I'm over here. And I want to be there. But then what happens is you start the journey. You're like, oh my gosh. Oh, this is so much work. Oh, Lord, this can't be you, God. This can't be you. This can't be you, God. Okay. Ooh. Man, God, someone's going to write me a $100,000 check. It's going to be good. All right. So this week, I want you to evaluate you. Evaluate yourself. What is it that is holding you back? What are your old skins? What are your old ways of thinking that are keeping you from your next level of prosperity, specifically money? Because I want you to be blessed. Because through us, our city will be blessed. Through us, these people will be blessed. Listen, if Victory Life Church is in Brownwood, Texas, there should be no people living on the streets. Did y'all hear me? There should be no people living on the streets because we should have taken care of them. Because we should have the means to do that. Because we should be prospering so much, we can just do it. All right, I'm going to get off the soapbox. So this week, I'm closing again. This week, you're going to look at yourself, not everybody else. Like, man, I know that one guy's got some money. He must not be a good steward. Now, think about you. And what do you need to do? What mind shifts do you need to have? What new skins do you need so that you can take a step? Amen. God, we thank you for tonight. I thank you, God, for your word, that it is good. Your word is always good, Father. We thank you for the revelation that's in your word, and that we won't just be hearers only, but we'll be doers. And we'll take what we hear and let it go down deep in ourselves, drop down into our souls, and get processed and get chewed on so that we can have revelation knowledge specifically for our lives, for our situation, and for what you've called us, each of us, to do. Whatever capacity, whatever level that is. God, help us to be faithful. We love you, Father, and I just declare, this is my declaration, that we will be a prosperous church, that the people in our body will be so prosperous that our city has no want, that there are no homeless people, that there are no hungry people because of us. We thank you for that, God, and glorify and praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.